This is VSiN's Bet the W. Here's your host, Danielle Alvari.
Welcome into Bet the W. I'm your host, Danielle Alvari, joined by my co-host, virtually my co-host, who's here all the time, Calvin Wetzel. Calvin, how are you doing? Last week we talked about some things, and I think those things have continued to flourish. We'll get into that in a second, but how are you doing?
I'm great. I always love being back on here with you, so I'm excited. We have a huge slate tomorrow. Five games, almost the whole league's playing.
Yeah, and next Sunday, that is the case, by the way. Six games, all 12 teams playing next Sunday. So lots to look forward to this week. But speaking of last week, I asked, are the Wings taking flight, right? They've won and covered 7 of their last 8. 2 of those wins were over the top 2 teams in the league, the Aces and the Liberty. They were 50-1 or maybe longer or so last week. Now I'm seeing them at 35-1 to win the title at DraftKings. Do you think that's warranted?
I probably still wouldn't bet on them to win the title. I mean,
yeah,
you have to beat realistically the Liberty and the Aces in back-to-back 5-game series if you want to win the title. I really don't see anyone doing that. Yeah. But that being said, we can make a lot of money on them in single games right now and ride out this hot streak because they're cooking. And I will get to that this game, I know, in a little bit. But they are favored over one of the better teams in the league. And I don't even think that's wrong.
Yeah, I know. I was surprised. Obviously the game that they're playing on Tuesday, I wasn't sure which way that line was going to drop. And when I saw the 1.5, I thought, which one is favored? And then I said, oh, Dallas. Okay. So yeah, Dallas on a great streak right now. Things at least going well there, but not necessarily a lot of options. And really, that's just because this is a historic Aces team that we're talking about here. You can find articles and articles and articles now that everyone is writing about how incredible this Aces team is. And so it's just not, oh, well, this team could. And it's like, it's just really tough to bet a future on anybody but these top two teams. Before I move on past that, there's been discourse on W Twitter about Asia Wilson not getting enough love at MVP because she's on this stacked team. Agree or disagree?
Well, if you look at FanDuel now, those odds have moved to a dead heat with her and Stewie. They're both minus 110 or minus 115 or whatever it is. And no one else is even remotely close, which, I mean, even when we woke up today, Asia was like plus 200. Just a week ago, she was in the plus 300. So they're catching on. And I think she's putting together another campaign worthy of that. When you look at what she's doing as the best player on not only the best team, but maybe the best team ever, it's hard to ignore.
Yeah, and I agree. I think that there's a campaign going on for Asia, and it, rightfully so. She's backing it up. It's not like there's just words going on here, but it feels like the narrative has finally caught up to that. And I think that we as bettors often just think, oh, if you're on the super team, you're going to get votes stolen from your other players on your team. And I still think that is going to be a factor we have to consider here, but I'm glad to see that she's a little bit more rightfully priced in the market. I also asked last week if we should be worried about New York. They seem to have their mojo back, right?
Yeah, that game the other day, they, I think, set a record, correct me if I'm wrong, for points in a quarter in that first quarter, but a 44 in one quarter. They were making everything. It's obviously, you know, it helps when shots go in, but they were moving the ball. They were running all over the Fever. They looked fantastic. So right after we started talking about maybe being concerned, they have stepped up. And JJ, Jonquel Jones, has been a big part of that. She stepped up huge in the last two games.
And we were worried.
We talked about her being the X factor. If she plays like this and the Liberty play like this the rest of the season, they can compete with the Aces.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I'm glad you pointed that out, too, because we did have questions about Jonquel last week and she stepped up. And this is what we need to see from the Liberty to see them be a team that can compete with the Aces, which they're absolutely built to do so. The last thing I asked last week was, are the Mercury going to start winning games? No, they lost to Washington on Sunday. But now they play on Tuesday. Let's get into the Tuesday games. They're in Atlanta, and we both thought this line was funky. Now, Calvin is like a hawk with these lines, so he caught this as soon as it came out and said that Atlanta opened at 4.5. I'm now seeing a 6. You might see even longer than that by the time you're listening to this. But I have to say, even Atlanta at 6 or even 5.5 still available at this time as well, Atlanta at home against the Phoenix Mercury team that, admittedly, has done better since their coaching change. They've only covered 8 total games this season, but 5 of those were in their last 9 games. They've been picking up the pace a little bit as far as covering, not the actual pace, as you mentioned. But their defensive rating has also been at the bottom all season. But in 5 or 6 of their last games, they're ranked 4th in defensive rating. So a little bit of an uptick there. And maybe that's because Diana Taurasi has been out for a couple games. Maybe that's also been affecting their offense, because complete lack of offense from the Mercury. I like the Dream here. I like an under here. What are your thoughts?
Big time on both. Yeah. Big time with you. Like, both of those lines were so off when they opened, and they still are. They both moved a point or 2 points. Mm-hmm. Like you said, they're both so far off. I could see this game, even though it's an Atlanta Dream game and they like to run, like you mentioned, they're the fast-paced team in the league. They score the ball really well. I could still see this team, or this game, finishing in the 150s even. I would probably take this if it drops to like 162, 163, open at 167.5. I hit that. And the same thing with the spread. Dream minus 4.5, hit that. It's at -6 right now. I would still take that. I feel like this should be in low double digits. So if you're getting -7, -8 by the time you're listening to this, I would probably still take that as well.
Yeah, I think 8 would be a stopping point for me. The Mercury have been playing a little bit better, but that's not good enough to keep up with this Atlanta team. And that's coming from me, somebody who thinks Atlanta is so inconsistent. It's only when I bet on them, I swear, that they don't cover. So maybe that's a reason not to. But Calvin likes this one too, is the good news. I also think that this is a spot where catching the books, where they feel the same way. The Dream were a little bit not solid enough, I guess, in as far as covering their spread in the last bit. So I think we're getting a buy low spot on Atlanta here. So I think this is where you can actually go in on them. I think this is a little bit silly. And also, 6 straight unders for Atlanta. So 166.5 seems a little funny to me.
Yeah, 6 straight unders for them, or 5 or 6. And they're playing the slowest paced team in the league, who, like you said, can't score, but has been at least sort of serviceable on defense, maybe because they're without Diana Taurasi, who they will be without again for this game. So it's everything's pointing to an under, which probably means it'll be like 200 points. That's what happens usually. But I love this under, and I love in the Dream spread at home. They're getting this at home. Like that, you should get a few points right there just from that. So when you open at -4.5, you're saying that the Dream are only 1 or 2 points better than the Mercury on a neutral court? I mean, that's crazy to me. That's dumb.
Yeah. With no Diana Taurasi, which again, like, we think expects or affects the total more than the spread. But either way, we like the spread and the total. I think this is the game that we like the best for the bets. I'm speaking for Calvin here, but it's definitely the one I like. But we're going to keep previewing the rest of the games. And also, I'm surprised to see no 170 totals. And we have all 3 of the top offenses playing on Tuesday. We have the Aces, the Wings, the Liberty, all of them playing, and no totals in the 170s.
Yeah, well, the Aces open at 170.5, and that's down, what do you have there now, 169.5? 169.5, yep, that was one I took the under, even though it's the Aces, because it's another matchup where you have a team that's fast and scores, like the Dream and the Aces, but they're playing a slower, more defensive,
struggling,
lower scoring team, and you see Aces lines around 170 all the time, but when they're playing on the road against the Sky, you have to move that down a little bit for that matchup. So I hit this under as well. I don't love it as much as I love the Atlanta one, but I do think 170.5 was a little bit high for really any Chicago Sky game. That's what it comes down to. So I'd probably still take it at 169.5. I probably wouldn't go 3 or 4 more points like I would with the Atlanta game. I, like you said, that was those were my favorite bets, I think, for both of us. But this was still a good line.
Was the Sky and Mercury game the game last week that you were saying could end like under 150 something? Yeah. So, like,
and it did. It ended in the 140s.
It absolutely did. I had to shout that out because Calvin totally nailed it. I was like, 154? Under 154? No, it totally landed, I think, below 150. And so we've been on the Chicago Sky unders for a minute, and I think that this is another spot for it. It's tough because the Aces can score a lot on their own, but I still just think this is a big ask out of Chicago. And also, this is another line I thought was funny. The Aces only laying 14 here. I know they're on the road. Do you think that's the reason this isn't a larger spread?
I think that and the fact that the last time they played, they won by 13. The Aces were 13.5 point favorites in that
Very
game.
Different times.
It was different times, number
different
one.
Different coach.
And, yep, that's a good point as well. Mm-hmm. And also, if you look at how that happened, the Aces built a huge lead, which I think we need to talk about when we get to the spread as a general trend. But built a huge lead. Sky came all the way back and cut it to 13. So if you had Sky plus 13.5 that game, you
got
that
by
was
the skin of your teeth.
Incredible beat, because it was dead in the water and the Sky came back and won by the hook. But that's why, for that reason, I think we need to talk about Aces first halves, because Aces, they've covered a little more often than not this year in general in the full game, but because their starting lineup is so historically good and their bench is not good at all, there's a huge gap compared to what most teams have between their starters and their bench. So these half spreads are just wildly different for the Aces than what you see for most teams. So the Aces are 17-6 covering first half spreads this year. And for me, I'm just riding that. Like, I'm not overthinking it. Aces first half until further notice. I'm riding it again. So that one opened at 7.5. I think it may be 8.5 or 9.5 now. Still take it. The Aces are going to win this first half by double digits. So if you're getting in the single digits, you need to hit it.
17-6 in first half spread. That's crazy. And also, by the way, they're usually covering the full game spread at the halftime of these games. That's what it feels
like. Yes, and
then
sometimes they still don't cover the full game at the end of the game. Like in Chicago,
at the end,
in the Sky game that we talked about, they won the first half by 17. It was 13.5 spread. They won the full game by 13. So that's why the first half is so much safer. That bench sometimes gives up that cover.
Yeah, they're just clocking out early. Also, before we move on to the next game, Candace Parker, dealing with an ankle injury, still out, diagnosed with a left foot injury over the weekend. How do you factor this in for them moving forward?
I mean, you got to, you know, move the point, the spread, maybe down a point or point and a half. But she's pretty clearly the fifth best starter, even though she's a legend at this point. Alicia Clark has still been great. Kia Stokes has low-key been really good this year, on defense at least. And I think really it's more of just the domino effect of they lose depth than actually missing Candace Parker a ton in the starting lineup, as crazy as that is to say.
I'm more worried about it moving forward long-term than I am in the short-term.
Yes, I am too, because the more depth you lose on a team that doesn't have depth, the more minutes everyone else is playing and the more you wear down. And that could catch up to you if she doesn't come back soon, you know, as you get into the end of the season and those minutes build up, the tread on those tires. So I agree, it's more of a long-term thing.
Yeah. Well, I love that first half play. I think that's a way smarter way to play the Aces right now, because we're seeing, again, I don't remember the last spread I have to look, but like, these spreads are out of control for the Aces. They're 13 or higher on the regular, on the road or not on the road. So first half's definitely the way to look here. We have another giant spread here in the Liberty game, because they are hosting the Seattle Storm, Brianna Stewart's former team. They're in New York, and New York is laying 15 at home. Total of 167, still not in the 170s, and maybe that's because Seattle pretty much comes and goes with Jewel Lloyd. Jordan Horston will also be out for the Storm due to personal reasons.
Yeah, well, this is actually one I think probably should be in the 170s, so we could see it move up. It may have already moved up half a point if we got 167, because I hit one over 166.5. But this is another one, too, where I think we need to talk about the first half, because so when I saw the Aces stat, 17-6 in first halves, obviously the Aces are pretty extreme when it comes to the gap between the starters and their bench, but it got me thinking, like, what if I look at all the other heavy favorites? Is that a trend this year? So looked into everyone other than the Aces this year, when they're favored by double digits, is 10-4 on first half spread. So it's kind of an Aces thing, but it's also just a heavy favorite thing. When you see teams favored by a ton, they're often covering the first half across the league, which is mostly, if it's not the Aces, it's mostly the Liberty, a few Connecticut Sun games in there, one or two Atlanta Dream games in there, but you're mostly talking about the top of the league, obviously. So this is another one I would probably pivot to first half spread rather than full game.
This is such good knowledge. This is why we bring Calvin on. And it also completely makes sense based on what we knew about this season going into the season, which was very top heavy. And the best of the best are going to be the best of the best, and everyone at the bottom just going to be really miserable. And we're seeing that. So in these big spreads, it's games where you're playing, or you were playing, the Mercury, the Storm, earlier in the season, even the Lynx, and those are situations where it's just not even fair in the matchup when you're playing one of these top teams. So just that huge discrepancy, I think that accounts for these first halves. That's crazy. So that's good to know. Is that where you would look for this one then too? You would take the first half of the Liberty instead of the full game?
Yeah, I would do that, and then I would possibly live bet the Storm, because, and this is another good angle with these first half sort of spreads that we keep seeing the heavy favorites cover, is that you can also get a good live line on the other team often heading into the fourth when the benches come in, and especially with the Storm, who are full of 19, 20, 21-year-olds who come in off the bench, try really hard. It's the same thing as the Baby Fever last year. They win a lot of fourth quarters at garbage time. And we saw the Liberty do the opposite just a couple days ago against the Fever when they built a lead into the 30s and the live line got into the 30s. Liberty didn't even win that game by 20. They ended up getting into the teens. So Fever would have been a great live bet in that one. So I will probably be trying to live bet Seattle sometime in the second half.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that these top two teams, especially the Aces and the Liberty in the second half, they just don't necessarily need to hold on to these top spreads, and or their bench can't necessarily help. Do you think we're going to get Stephanie Dolson back anytime soon? I mean, geez.
Ooh, I hope so, but I have no idea. It sounded like it was pretty bad. So that's another one that the Liberty, the good thing with them, unlike the Aces, they have a little more depth. So they're with
especially in that big role.
Exactly, exactly. They're able to withstand it a little bit better, but still definitely someone you want back for a playoff run at a minimum.
Yeah. The next game is the one with the closest spread, so the best team matchup here of the evening for Tuesday. This is going to be a 5 p.m. Pacific start, 8 p.m. Eastern. Connecticut Sun at the Dallas Wings. The Wings laying 1.5 at the time of us talking about it. I'll be interested to see if this switches at all. And I'm seeing a total of 167. I wasn't sure which way this was going to shake out, of which team would be favored, but you have to give it to Dallas based on their recent play.
Yeah, I think Dallas is correctly favored, as crazy as that sounds. This line is much better than the other ones, I think. But
sharper.
Sharper, I should say. I still lean Wings, though. If I had to pick a side here, I would probably have Wings by 2 or 3. So 1.5, that would still be at least a lean for me. The way that they're playing right now, they're playing as well as the Connecticut Sun. They're playing like basically outside of the Aces and Liberty, the Wings are playing as well as anyone in the league. So I still think you got to probably look towards them if you want to bet on this game.
Yeah, I think for a while the Wings were sitting in like my 4-5 spot, especially as the Mystics dropped down the board. And now I see them kind of positioning themselves in that third best spot and competing with Connecticut for it. So this is going to be a very important game for both teams. I feel like there's going to be a lot of pressure on both sides here. Also, shout out to Alyssa Thomas and DeWanna Bonner for getting engaged. Maybe there's going to be a little bit of engagement, lucky energy for the Connecticut Sun. But I've always said that team has the best chemistry, and there's a couple reasons for why. But I agree with you. I think I have to go with the Wings at 1.5. As far as the total, 167. Man, the Sun have had so many overs lately, but I worry about their little scoring droughts that they go on, and that makes me not want to look to an over here, even though Dallas could probably get this there on their own.
You're right. The Sun do go on some big scoring routes, and then they go on these big runs, too. They're so streaky within a single game, and sometimes it drives you crazy if you're on one side or the other. I think this total is pretty sharp. I will say, though, the Sun are 1-0 since that engagement announcement, so that's good. On the other side, though, in favor of the Wings, without Bree Jones, the Sun obviously have been playing smaller, and the Wings are a tough team to do that against with the size they come at you with Tierra McCowan, bringing Kalani Brown off the bench, and then obviously Natasha Howard and Satu Sabali as like your 3 and your 4. They're one of the best offensive rebounding teams in the last several years, and the Sun will have their work cut out for them with that size mismatch.
Yeah, I agree. I will say this is the one I'm most excited to watch on Tuesday, but probably not the one that I'm most excited to bet because it is probably the sharpest line. But even what you just pointed out, I think that size advantage is going to be huge for Dallas here. And it's the reason why I thought they would be able to hang with teams like the Aces. So I think you've talked me into Wings minus 1.5, but not much higher. I don't think I want 2.5. 1.5 I can play.
No,
Indiana Fever.
I love 1.5 spreads. Yeah,
1.5.
You got to get 1.5. Yeah. That's my favorite spread. I will never take the money line. Always 1.5 of those.
Yeah. Come on. Don't lay the extra juice. Just take the 1.5. The Indiana Fever at the Los Angeles Sparks is the last game of the night. The Fever still trying to get things kind of back in line, and admittedly still missing Nelissa, so maybe there's a little bit of that going on. But the Sparks, who have been dealing with a lot of injuries, starting to get a little healthier. No Shanae for a while, it seems, but Lexi Brown has been back for two games. Looks good, helping them score. We're getting a couple more points here. Sparks are at home. They're laying 2.5, and we have a total of 165.5. I think this could go over.
Yeah, if I had to pick a side, I would probably lean over. I do feel like this one is pretty sharp, too, the spread and the total. It was funny because they dropped the first couple games. They posted those lines before they posted these, and I texted you, like, these lines are horrible. And then they dropped the Sun Wings and this one, and I thought, oh, they figured out these lines are actually sort of sharp. So,
but
I probably would lean over, especially because Lexi Brown is huge for the offense, like you said, the way she shoots the ball. And Leja Clarendon back as well for the Sparks, a starter for them this year who missed a couple months with injuries. So that's been big. I know you always like to ask me about First Basket, Danielle. Probably more than spread or total in this game. My favorite bets will be, hopefully, depending on what the odds are, Leja and Lexi First Baskets. They actually use them a lot in the first minute. And they use NECA a lot too, but books know that they use NECA. Obviously, NECA's the go-to. But you usually get some pretty long odds on Leja and Lexi. And if if you're getting in the thousands, I think you can hit it.
Yeah. That's interesting. That's not who I would expect at all. But but the NECA one makes sense, definitely. As far as the spread, if you had to pick a side here, so obviously we're not loving how sharp these last two games are, but Fever on the road getting 2.5 is not enough for me to be interested in. It's just, you know, like if this line moves where the Fever getting like 4.5, like something crazy like that, then maybe I'd get involved.
Yeah, this is probably one where I would monitor movement, like you said, and see if we can get Fever plus 4.5, or if it moves the other way and we end up getting minus 1.5 or somehow pick them.
Could
for
be
Sparks.
A live betting game.
Could be a live betting game as well. Yeah, this is one of those where you sort of kind of got to feel it out with the line movement and feel it out during the game as well, I think, and maybe find more value at some point other than right now.
Yeah, and I do think the Sparks play better at home in general. It might not have reflected that in their schedule this year because they've been so decimated by injuries, but I do think that they do tend to play better at home, obviously. And Indiana traveling, not a short travel trip for them. So I think we'll stick with that first game. That's my favorite here. The Mercury and the Dream, even up to 8, but we're seeing 6. I like the Dream at home in this spot, and I also like that under.
Yeah, that's the bet. Both of those are the bets of the day. This is the game of the day, betting-wise, I think, for anyone I've talked to.
Watch is going to be the one we're wrong about.
Yep. My group chat that we were talking about earlier was like, this is one of those lines that's so off that, like, you know it's not hitting. Because every now and then you see a line that's just, like, extremely terrible, and then somehow something weird happens, right? Like, somehow the Mercury win by 20 and a 200-point scored. It's one of those that's, like, that bad. So we'll see. But I can't imagine anyone betting the Mercury at this line.
Yeah, the logic is on our side. Let's hope that everything goes as it should. Before we go, win of the week. Do we have a win of the week, Calvin?
Why do I always forget to prepare these? Can you go first again?
Yes, okay. My win of the week is I'm about to hit wedding weeks for me. I'm going to a wedding this weekend, and then I have another wedding in a couple weeks. So 2 weddings in the next 3 weeks. So lots to celebrate. Love everywhere. Love in the air.
Oh, love. Yeah. I love love. Love is great.
It's a good win.
I have a wedding this coming weekend, so next time
it's
I'm on,
season.
Maybe that will be my win of the week, assuming the wedding is fun. I think it will be.
Yes.
So I have my win of the week for next week already. Great. Better than having one for this week, which I still...
still trying to get it out.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about your wedding. Do you know the people who are getting married pretty well?
I know the groom pretty well, yeah.
Okay. Do you know if they're doing their own vows?
I don't know.
Okay, because that's been like my main question I've been asking people about their weddings.
Yeah.
And the last couple I've been to, they're not. They're doing the traditionals and they're doing vows privately, which as a guest makes me upset. I want to hear the stuff. I want to hear the nice individuals.
It like no one's there for it?
Yeah, no, they're doing it like solo together. Like this is the trend I've been seeing is they're like, oh, we did them in the morning with each other and then we're going to do the regular vows. And I'm like, I don't like this. Like, we're all coming here to hear the cool things that you guys have to say about each other.
That's
right?
I mean, that's what you're at the ceremony for, right? The reception is for having fun and dancing, and the ceremony is for that. Like that. Yeah. So yeah, no, I'm with you. That's interesting.
Yeah. I like the personal vows. I'm a big fan.
Yeah. You know what? I'll let you know next week how they do it. Okay. Hopefully they do the personal vows, because I agree. That's fun. It adds more, like, it's like a cop out to use the, you know, the pre-written or whatever, the traditional.
Yeah.
Ones. Like,
that's not what we're here to, thought here into to it. Hear.
You should have thought into it. Like, if you really love someone, you should have thought, right?
We want to hear it. That's what we're here for. Yeah. And also, I am guilty of like making small wagers at weddings, like with the person next to me. Like the person who attends with me, I'll usually be like, oh, I bet you the person who, like the officiant speech is going to take this many minutes, like over or under. Like I've been setting lines. Doing. Yeah. And by the way, it's usually overs, which is horrible. Mm. It's just. Mm. It's
What's the line usually? What's a good line for the speech?
I have to see the officiant. So I try to I try to hear them, you know, I have to see, get an idea. You can see who's a chatty officiant, who's not.
you how collect long data you on this. You really like
handicap
this.
Yeah. I'm actually pretty accurate on it. I haven't lost yet, but.
Wow.
So I am that guest. So if you're wondering if I'm betting on things, I absolutely am, but I'll try to stay quiet in the back.
True DJ mode, Danielle. I love it.
come on. Some of these get long. You need something to cheer for.
You're right.
It's like betting on the national anthem at the Super Bowl. It's just, you know, it doesn't mean anything. It's just fun.
All right. I will, when I get to the wedding, if I remember, I will send you a picture. Wait, no, but you need to hear the officiant. You need to figure out if they're a talker. I was gonna say
you
I'll send you a picture.
Set the line. You should try this.
I'll set
you should
the
see
line.
How good you are.
I'll,
you should
right.
see how
I'll
good you are.
I'll set the line. See how close I am. I'll let you know.
Yeah, or maybe just enjoy the love in the moment. I get that. That's probably what we should be doing. We can do both. We can do both. Thank you, Calvin, for being here. We'll be back to break down Thursday games and also maybe tiptoe into Friday. We have 3 games on Friday as well. We have 2 on Thursday. So we'll be back. Make sure you follow About the W Show on Twitter. Follow Calvin at CWetzel31. Follow me at Danielle Avari. And we will see you back here for another episode of Bet the W.